The Nazis similarly assumed that Germans who favored socialist economic policies but who rejected the idea of thraldom to Moscow would ultimately side with the National Socialists over the international ones. German communists made a similar gamble, believing that Nazism would accelerate the historical march toward communism. Hence again, the German socialist mantra, first brown, then red. Somewhat paradoxically, support for violence, even violent rhetoric, as in Rudd's fondness for expletives, helped radicals differentiate themselves from liberals, whom the hard left saw as too concerned with politeness, procedure, and conventional politics. When moderates at the Columbia takeover tried to dissuade a member of the defense committee at the math hall, where the most radical students were holed up, he responded, "You fucking liberals don't understand what the scene's about. It's about power and disruption. The more blood, the better." At the march on the Washington Monument to end the war in 1965, Phil Oakes sang his contemptuous, "Love me, I'm a liberal." Saul Alinsky, whose Rules for Radicals served as a Bible for the New Left, and who later became one of Hillary Clinton's mentors, shared the fascist contempt for liberals as corrupted bourgeois prattlers. Liberals in their meetings utter bold words. They strut, grimace belligerently, and then issue a weasel-worded statement which has tremendous implications if read between the lines. They sit calmly, dispassionately, studying the issue. Judging both sides, they sit and still sit. Substitute the word fascist for radical in many of Alinsky's statements, and it's sometimes difficult to tell the difference. Society has good reason to fear the radical. He hits, he hurts, he is dangerous. Conservative interests know that white liberals are most adept at breaking their own necks with their tongues. Radicals are most adept at breaking the necks of conservatives. And the radical may resort to the sword, but when he does, he's not filled with hatred against those individuals whom he attacks. He hates these individuals not as persons, but as symbols representing ideas or interests which he believes to be inimical to the welfare of the people. In other words, they're not people, but dehumanized symbols. Change means movement, Alinsky tells us. Movement means friction. Only in the frictionless vacuum of a non-existent abstract world can movement or change occur without that abrasive friction of conflict. New Left violence also supported numerous other fascist themes, from the cult of unreason, the lust for action, the craving for authenticity, talk was cheap, to a sense of shame about the martial accomplishments of the older generation. Just as many Nazi youth missed the Great War and were desperate to prove their mettle to their parents and themselves, many in the New Left had issues with their parents' participation in World War II, and for many Jews, their parents' Holocaust ordeal.